And the thing about the one-on-one replacement, it was so important because, again, it protected residents. So it was hard to displace folks with that law existing. So their grand plan was to let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of this law.
Right. Now, you also talked about the Section 8 vouchers, which I guess this is what they give people when they say, okay, we're going to come in, we're going to tear down this whole complex that you've been living in, but we're going to give you this voucher so you can move somewhere else. And I guess for some people, they might say, well, what's the problem? Like, they're getting a voucher, they can find a different place, maybe it's going to be a better place. But in this handout that you gave us, you talk about how Section 8 actually helps to reconcentrate poverty. Can you talk about how that works?
Right. So individuals, because everyone isn't coming back, and that's something that THA, the Philadelphia Housing Authority here in the city of Philadelphia, they're not honest with individuals. So they give them the hope that some of them are going to come back, right? That a
Right.
small percentage of them is going to come back, but they're given vouchers, but so you're left up to having to find another place to live, right? And you have to, Section 8 is only going to pay for so much, right? So if you get a voucher and you have to look for another place to live, your voucher, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have to live again in another community that's impoverished, because that's all your voucher is going to be. You can't use your Section 8 voucher to move into Northern Liberties, right? Because THA is not going to pay, if you need a 2-bedroom apartment, and I'm just speculating, could be $1,400, $1,500 in Northern Liberties, $2,000. I mean, who knows? It's outrageous in that community.
Yeah, I heard that Section
So,
8, they pay a lot of times they pay between like 400 and 800 or something. Right.
right. So, and that's not even depending on the community that you're living in. So they're not going to actually pay market rate. So they're going to just give you have a, I have two children. If I have a voucher, I'm going to have to get a 2-bedroom. So it could be a 2-bedroom apartment, it's a 2-bedroom house, but they're only going to pay up to a certain amount. At the max, it'll be $800, right? Or maybe $700 or $600, right?
So not they're
And
not paying the
you,
whole thing.
no, because you're responsible, right? So like, if I'm, but it depends. If I'm working, then I'm gonna pay a portion, and then they pay a portion, right? And but if I'm working, I'm still part of the working poor, right? So I can only afford to live in a poor neighborhood. So I'm being placed in another poor community. So my poverty is being shifted from neighborhood A now to neighborhood B.
That's really interesting because I noticed what's happening here in Philadelphia is that the options for especially people of color, poor people of color to move, they're kind of shrinking because the University of Pennsylvania is buying up a lot of land right now. Drexel's expanding, Temple's expanding, so all of the traditionally black neighborhoods where people might move to are kind of disappearing. So like where are people, let's say 15, 20 years down the line, like where are people going to be? I can't even,
Right. And that's the
Darby.
magic question. That's what I've been asking myself for the past 13 years. Where are people moving to? And that's something that I really would like the answer to that. And that will make a great ethnography in the sense of knowing. And that can be done, because I'm actually interested in doing an ethnography. I've done an ethnography, and that's just ethnography going into community, interviewing people, studying out the culture of the community, and through interviews and talking to folks. So I've done one in Norris Apartments that I've been trying to finish, and I really want to go in the last for, because Norris Apartments is a done deal. That is another community that is impacted by Choice Neighborhoods too. And that's something that's very strange, because Choice Neighborhoods is not awarded to a city. They don't get two grants normally, right? So you can, the city will apply for a grant, and then maybe 5, 6, 7 years, they'll apply for another one. But these grants was awarded around the same time, within maybe 1 to 2 years. So you have two, maybe you have, 11th and North, and then you have Charlotte. I mean, that's not that far from each other. It's North Philadelphia. So you have these two neighborhoods at the same time being impacted by Choice Neighborhoods. So what I would like to do, God willing, is to go in and talk with folks and find out where are they moving to, where is their voucher, you know, where are they going to be getting houses, and where are they moving to, and do the same thing. Hopefully, we won't have to do that with the folks in Bloomberg, but. And I'm not even going there. I'm gonna stop there.
But Bloomberg is where, Bloomberg is like the,
it's across the street from North Philly Peace Park.
From the Peace Park. And do you know how much money the city or PHA is getting to you know, start this construction or start this revitalization thing?
$30 million.
$30 million
for the Shardwood, right?
$30 million.
And that's not even, yeah, $30 million.
Wow, that's a lot. So
yeah, that's while, a big grant.
So wait, while the school system here doesn't have any money, they can't find any money for the schools, but they could find $30 million to revitalize this one little neighborhood. And you know what I mean? Like, that sounds pretty amazing, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, we had... I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off, but I just wanted to say the school that sits, like, not even that, like, next door from them. The school was one of the schools that closed down.
Oh, right. Yeah. Now, that must be a coincidence, too.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, I mean, they must think people are... They must think people are really dumb. I mean, they're closing down schools in these neighborhoods where the developers are coming in to buy up all this land. Right. And they just expect people to just lay back and take it. And this is why I think that this is such a good place to have people just mobilize and say, no, this is where this is going to stop, hopefully. And even if we can't stop it, even if they come in and arrest everybody and take us by force out of there, at least we will have drawn so much attention to this issue that people can't ignore it anymore, because they're closing schools, they're tricking people into thinking that, yeah, you're going to be able to move back in, but they know they won't be able to afford to live there.
Right.
And this is really just like, to me, I'm going to be honest, like what I really think of when I think about what's happening in the city is I think about just ethnic cleansing. That's, to me, that's what it looks like. I mean, what do you think
about
that?
You're absolutely right. That's exactly what it is. And you raised a good question, Ron. Where are the people going? Where are they moving to? Because, you know, like you said, with these universities, that's why it's, you know, these universities, and just using Temple for example, and Penn and Drexel, all of them, the community, these poor communities can't continue to coexist with these higher institutions, because the more powerful they get, they expand.
Yeah.
And they don't pour resources in. And they don't pour it in for a reason.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, and just specifically looking just at Charlotte, I mean, you have Charlotte, you have Fairmont, you have Borytown, you have Francisville. These were all black neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So all the neighborhoods that we could possibly afford to live, we can no longer live.
Yeah.
And are we going to be moving out the city? I mean, I can't fathom it, because it's, you know, it's out of control. South Philly is taken, you know.
Northeast is occupied by people. You know what I mean?
Right.
The suburbs, the only place I can think of is that no man's land down to the airport where all the refineries are. There's like nothing really down there because it's so polluted that people don't really want to live down there. I can just picture them building some things down there and be like, okay, well, y'all just go down there near the refineries,
Yeah.
near the airport.
Or that, or just the whole flip thing of, because folks are moving out to the suburbs. So, and it's one thing to look at. And well, the folks that's moving out to the suburbs are working class. So at this point, the working the working poor can't afford to move out to the suburbs. But what's going to happen? And I'm gonna bring up Ferguson, because I believe that that's what's going to end up happening, because Ferguson was an all-white suburban community. All-white suburban community. And when they talk about Ferguson, they always say the suburbs of Ferguson. And then I was thinking, I was like, watching it, following on the news, I'm just like, it's all black folks. And these black folks look poor. They live in this community. So I did my research, and I found out that Ferguson at one time was all white, but then another neighborhood closer, the surrounding neighborhoods gentrified, and all the black folks moved into to the suburbs of Ferguson. But all the white folks are in the city. So it may be a flip thing here where, folks may start moving, the poor start moving into these suburbs, and white folks is moving. Well, they're already moving into city in the city, but as droves, they're going to start moving in even more into the city, and poor folks are going to be moving into the suburbs.
Yeah, it feels like we're playing musical chairs sometimes, because I know a lot of these neighborhoods where black people live now, they used to be white neighborhoods, and now the white people are coming back, so now we got to move out again, and then it seems like it's going to be like a cycle, just never ending, moving wherever the capital moves, that means we got to move out, and it could change at any time. I mean, we're as long as this economic system continues, we're just going to be at the mercy of the developers, of the universities, of whoever has the power. And I think that that's why we have to start taking our own power for ourselves. So I was wondering, can you talk about the organization you're a part of, the People's Power?
Building People's Power. Building People's Power is a grassroots organization based out of West Philadelphia, and I co-founded along with International Action Center back in 2012, and we had a march, a May Day march, the May Day march back in 2012, and it actually was birthed out of that, resisting and the juvenile detention center that was being built, and around that time in August, the general assistance was being cut, and there was just so many things that were going on in society, specifically in the West Philadelphia community, where we wanted to keep that momentum going and not just have it be this one day event, but to really keep organizing, especially having political education in the community for our West Philadelphia residents. And that's what I've tried to do, being the even though I split from IAC and I'm still building People's Power and kind of moved in a different direction, even though I still support IAC, I still support what they do, but I felt like I needed to move it in a different direction. And doing that, I still continue to do political education in the community, utilizing our churches, utilizing Shepherd Recreation Center and all of these institutions in the community. But the Montero struggle, I had committed Building People's Power to lead that struggle. And so I kind of like stopped really specifically working in West Philly and was kind of leading that movement with Dr. Montero and his struggle with Temple University, getting him reinstated. And I did that up until just recently, but I had to step down for that because of a new community organizing job that I had. But actually now Building People's Power is actually merging with the North Philly Peace Park, and I'm stepping down my leadership, and it's really going to be under the organization Building People's Power is really under now the or, of under the umbrella of the North Philly Peace Park.
Okay, that's really great. And so, what do you, if people want to get plugged in to the struggle around the Peace Park, how can they do that? Because I know that there was a meeting that was supposed to happen with PHA and the community and like any other interested people, but I think they canceled the meeting, was it?
Yeah, it was quite a few different meetings. I know it was one that was like a community meeting, and then one meeting that they had that was specifically folks from the North Philly Peace Park, and I wasn't able to attend that one because I was working. But that one, they brought their folks, and they talked, and I don't want to really get too much of what was said, but I mean they're in negotiations at this point. But we need the North Philly Peace Park definitely needs support. They need support, and if folks are thinking, like I want to fight against gentrification, I it's wrong, it's an injustice, then y'all need to get with the North Philly Peace Park. Y'all need to get with Brother Tommy. They on Facebook. The North Philly Peace Park is on Facebook. Send a message. Say that you wanna you wanna get down and you wanna rock with them and you wanna resist what's going on in the Sherwood community. Or gentrification is going on in your community. Find out what organization, but make sure they really anti-gentrification. That's
Right.
what folks gotta be very, very careful with, because there's a lot of organization that say they're anti-gentrification and they're really not. They're working with developers and they're doing a lot of shady stuff. So make sure they really anti-gentrification. And I advise folks to follow Gentrification Watch, which is a good is a website where you're interested in gentrification and you want to be involved and you want to fight against it. It gives you it lets you know what's going on in different communities and folks that has been having anti-gentrification rallies. You can find out. You can just follow what's going on as far as gentrification in North Philadelphia by following and going on to Gentrification Watch. And they have a lot of great articles on there as well. And you can kind of get plugged in if you're interested in resisting gentrification.
Okay, great. Patrice, thanks so much for just giving us all that good info and letting us know what's going on. And I'm really sure that we're going to be able to build some mobilization behind this issue because it's really important. And I think people can see how much the Peace Park has done for the community. So I think people will come out and definitely support us for sure.
Oh yeah, most definitely, and because they're gonna need all the support, because it's going to be a struggle, And just to mention real quick, it's always going to be a fight over land. Land is just so important. When you have land, you have power. You can control things. And white folks don't ever want to give Negroes land. So it always has to be a fight, and it may be a war that has to be waged. To keep your land. So I just want to end on that. But yeah, the North Philly Peace Park, they definitely will need support.